Revelation Review 1. Did you all get that filled in? All right, we'll go over that. In Revelation chapter 1, John was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. Yes. In chapters 2 and 3, John is looking forward at seven spiritual church ages. Church ages. So they're right. Those are actually seven churches that are literally physically on this earth at the time of John's existence, so when he's writing this. But they also represent church ages. And if you, we've kind of went through this several months back, but if you look at the church age of Philadelphia, it really lines up with the greatest revivals that ever happened on this earth. And then Laodicea is lining up with today. Spiritually speaking, you just see all those church ages lining up. But John was in exile in the Isle of Patmos because he was preaching about Jesus Christ. And history has John that he was, he's the only one of the disciples that wasn't killed. He died of natural causes, if you will. The rest of them were beheaded or crucified. But John was actually boiled in a vat of oil for his faith in Jesus Christ, his testimony in Jesus Christ. And then he was, brother, they sent him over there. It was a place of exile for criminals, for rejects, for, I believe, lepers also. But he went to that place. He was put over there by Rome, the powers that be, to get rid of his testimony. And he was in exile there, and God gave him these visions. And could you imagine, after he went through what he went through, being boiled in oil, still alive, probably grossly disfigured, and he's still bragging on Jesus Christ. So God thought, you know, God said, the disciple whom I loved, right there, is the type of the church, and the church going through persecution, type of the church going through persecution, gave him extra spiritual vision, if you will, or gave him advanced spiritual vision. He saw things that nobody else saw. And it kind of lines up with us, because as the church, if you will take some things for Jesus Christ and hang in there and search that book and pray about it, he will show you some things he won't show anybody else. And he's given a lot of great men and women over the years some great insight in the Word of God. And he's really opened up some things in there. And I don't know about you, but he's opened up some things in the last several years to me that just amazed me. It just opened up things in that Bible, things we've read countless times, and read it again, and he'll say, yeah, but look at this, you know. And something will just, a meaning will jump out that I've never seen before, especially when you're looking at types. You see a lot of types in there, and you start seeing types everywhere. But like John being a type of the church, Enoch being a type of the church. Enoch never died. He was translated, and we're going to be translated hopefully soon. Amen. Hopefully the Lord will translate us out of here, give us a new body, and we'll be with him forevermore, real soon. But Enoch's a type of the church, and then, on and on and on types. You know, Pharaoh's a type of the Antichrist, and Nebuchadnezzar's a type of the Antichrist. Even after the Bible was completely written, we still see types of the Antichrist, and Hitler and Mussolini. Go on down the line. There have been tons of people that were types of the Antichrist. But in the Bible, you had Herod and Pilate and Nebuchadnezzar. And then talking about what we've seen about Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition, and how he's connected to the Antichrist, and how he was a devil, and then when Jesus gave him the sop, he became the devil, entered into him, which is also probably a type of picture of the beast being wounded and raised in the tribulation. So just a lot of interesting things in this book. In Revelation chapter 4, in verse 1, John looked and beheld a what open in heaven? A door. And that symbolizes the rapture. The first voice he heard was as it were a trumpet talking with him. The command that John heard in verse 1 was, come up hither. So there it was, the type of the rapture right there. And I went ahead and answered that question five times already, but John being caught up to heaven is a type of the rapture. Type of the rapture. So. John being caught up to heaven is a type of the rapture. Type of the church going in. And that door being opened. What's the door? Who does the door represent? Jesus Christ. Yeah, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. Okay, let's see here. So John, remember we talked before in chapters 1, 2, and 3, it's talking about churches, church ages. Laodicean church age is the last church. It talks about church of Laodicea. That's where we're at, the end of the church of Laodicea. John, the type of the church, is raptured up into heaven, and the church isn't mentioned anymore until you get up to about chapter 19, and it talks about the bride. But the church is gone, so it's not mentioned anymore. And what's happening between chapter 4 and chapter 19, or chapter 5 and 19 or so? The tribulation. The church is gone, and he's dealing with the Jews again. Remember John, Jesus' inner circle was Peter, James, and John. And John had a special place, even closer to the Lord than Peter and James. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved, and John wrote that about himself, and he was the one that was leaning on Jesus' bosom. So he was right next to the heart of the Lord, which is the type of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the church. Matter of fact, when they stuck that spear in his side, they stuck it in the bag and the surrounding area of the heart and drained the fluid out. Blood and water came out. So his heart was broken for the church. For his bride. So, just an amazing book, an amazing Savior, amazing salvation. Get to chapter number 5 and verse 2. The angels ask, who is worthy to open the and the loose the seals thereof? Now remember, there's seals on that book. Now remember when he was talking to Daniel, he gave Daniel a vision, and he said, told Daniel, seal up the vision. So Daniel's seen some things that he couldn't talk about. So what you're getting in the book of Daniel is a limited prophecy. Daniel had vision sealed up until the Lord was ready to unseal it. And I believe that the vision that Daniel had that was sealed up is what God gave John in Revelation for the tribulation. I believe the reason he sealed it up is because he's not ready to go back to the Jews yet. He knew there was going to be a church age, and there was going to go back to the Jews, and he's going to unseal all this to some of the remnant of the Jews in the tribulation. But he's already unsealed it to us. Those that are saved can see it now, this vision that God gave in Revelation of the tribulation time and the new heaven, new earth, and eternity, great white throne of judgment and all that, all those different things. So one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yeah, the root of David. So here's an interesting thing. Jesus Christ is the seed of David that's worthy to sit on that throne because of his spiritual and physical lineage. He is worthy to sit on the throne. So if he's the seed of David, how could he be the root of David? Because he's the I Am. He existed before David in his God form. The Word of God has always been here. Regardless whether Jehovah's Witnesses try to say Jesus is a created being. No. Jesus is the Word of God. He was here in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, and the earth without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit moved on the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. There's the Word. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the first three verses of the Bible. He said, let there be light. There's the Word. So he spoke things into existence. So he's not only the seed, he's the seed of David after the flesh. The 100% man part of him was after the flesh, coming down through the lineage of David. But his God part, his 100% godness, or Godheadness, or whatever, I don't know, however you want to put it, was before David. So without him, David couldn't even exist. So he's the root of David. He's the root of Jesse, which is David's dad, and the seed of David. So he was before Jesse and came after David. because the God part always existed both directions, eternity past and present, future. And then the man part, he was born in the flesh after the seed of David and crucified and rose again. And he's eternal both directions, the God part. So the flesh part started at his birth. But Jesus Christ, see, the Catholic Church, as you probably well know, they called Mary the Holy Mother of God. She's not the mother of God. She's the mother of the flesh of Jesus Christ. God was before Mary. I mean, obviously David was before Mary. And it's saying Jesus Christ is the root of David. So how could Mary be the beginning of... She wasn't. She was just a vessel God chose to bring the flesh part into existence. His Father is God, the Father. But he was always in... That seed of the Word of God was planted in that flesh, and that flesh was all God and all man. But before Mary, there was still God. Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed before and after. So the root of David, and he's also, after the flesh, he's the seed of David. And he is worthy to open the seal. Verse 9 and 10 talk about the redeemed being kings and priests and getting to reign on the earth. So who are the redeemed? You saved? Yeah, you're redeemed, amen. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Hey, see, we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There's even songs about it, amen. Can you name four songs about Buddha or Muhammad? Four songs about Buddha or Muhammad? I mean, seriously. There are thousands of songs about Jesus Christ, though. Isn't that something? Because the redeemed sing it, sing and say so. Muhammad's folks really don't have anything to sing about. Verse 12 says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the that was to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, glory and blessing. Praise the Lord. So these things were sealed. So if you think about what God's doing here, God is outside of time, space, and matter. In the beginning, God created. And then when he created in the beginning, he set up time, space, and matter. So God is before and after time, space, and matter. Because time, space, and matter, as we know it, will end one day. But he's outside of time, space, and matter. Remember, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So before Adam was even created, Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. Because that was already God's plan outside of time. So when he's revealing these visions and unsealing these visions and these things, he's really giving people a peek outside of time. Into the future, or, you know, and everything in the Bible is history. His story, but it's all history because it's all as good as done. As far as God's concerned, he's up past the white throne of judgment into eternity. We're in time, and it's like we're waiting to get caught up with God, but when he was given Daniel visions, and he was given John visions here, giving him his advanced prophecies and stuff, he was giving them a peek into the future. So he did that because Daniel and John were special people. They were really obedient servants, and they were really close to him. And I don't know exactly how all the typology and stuff works with Daniel. John, when he was the type of the church, Daniel, I don't know exactly how to fit him into typology, but I do know this. He gave Daniel revelation that Daniel didn't even give us, because he said to seal up the vision. And I really do believe that this vision that he sealed up is what's opening up here in Revelation when he gave it to John. And that vision that he gave Daniel is about a time appointed to Daniel's people, a time of Jacob's troubles, the tribulation time. And I believe he's going to use that book of Revelation and that vision from Revelation and Daniel. Daniel and Revelation are their partner books. You can't understand the book each one without the other. Daniel chapter 9 explains Revelation, and Revelation explains a lot of things that's going on in Daniel, not just chapter 9, but different places in Daniel. We're talking about different beasts and different things and different time periods and things. But when the Jews know the book of Daniel. They just don't understand it because that vision's sealed up. They don't believe the New Testament unless they're saved. But you know what the Bible says? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And they don't have that faith in the Word of God, New Testament, because they don't hear it. They reject it. Matter of fact, they don't even have faith in Isaiah 53. They reject that because it points too much to Jesus Christ. So it's confusing for them. So much like the Catholic Church says, don't read the Bible. A lot of they have over the years, don't read the Bible. I'll tell you what it means. The Jews do the same thing with Isaiah 53. Don't read that. We'll tell you what it means. The ones that do try to explain it say that it's talking about Israel. Well, it's not talking about Israel. It's talking about the representation that they will have in the millennial kingdom. It's talking about the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's talking about Jesus Christ. But, our Old Testament has the same stuff in it, but it's in a different order. Their Old Testament ends in 2 Chronicles. Our Old Testament ends in Malachi. And Malachi, theirs is not in, I don't believe, in the right order. The canon was put together and put in this order by men that believe the New Testament, and God gave them a vision how to do this. And the Old Testament ends, the last thing it talks about, ends with them under a curse in Egypt. And that's where they are. They're under a curse in the world right now, the Jews. And then the New Testament starts off with the one that pays the debt to get them out from underneath that curse, Jesus Christ. So I believe that not only this book inspired, I believe the chapter, the book orders are inspired. And we've done a study on that in the past. It's been 3 years ago probably, but we've done a study on that in the past where we talked about how a lot of the things, even in the book of Psalms, are set up in a pre-millennial, pre-tribulation rapture order. When it's talking about the rapture and it's talking about the tribulation, it's talking about millennial reign, they're right in that order. And I believe that the chapter, or the books, are where they're supposed to be, where God wants them for the church age. I believe the chapters and verse markings are where they want to be. And I've told you before why I believe that. I don't just say, well, I believe it, because if I didn't have any proof, I'd still believe it's God's word. But he just keeps showing us more proof. I mean, just like the AV 1611 and Psalm 119 has 176 verses, 16 times, and it's all about the word of God, and 16 times 11 is 176. I mean, there's stuff like that. Just, it might seem little and trivial, like we talk about the chapters. 39 chapters in the Old Testament. 3 plus 9 is 12. 12 is about the number of the Jews. 27 books of the New Testament. 2 plus 7 is 9. It's about fruitfulness. And Jesus Christ is the one that produces the fruit. I mean, and then 66 books in the whole Bible. 6 plus 6 is 12 again. It's the number of the Jew. And what's the Bible about? It's about a Jew reigning on earth for 1,000 years. And then on into eternity, David reigning and Jesus Christ, the increase of his government, there shall be no end. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, I believe it is. So it's all about him. And it physically, carnally, some of them might, but I don't think most people realize in their mind, in their heart, why they hate Israel and why they hate the Bible and why they hate the Jews. And why they despise Jesus Christ, but it's spiritual. Because here we have the book of life, a life-giving book. It's the spirit that quickens, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak in you, their spirit and their life. We've got a book. There's never been another book like it. There never will be. And we've got that book right there. And that book represents Israel, their king, and their eternal promise of a land that they're going to get a new heaven, a new earth, And spiritually speaking, the devil hates that. If the devil had his way, he'd wipe out all the Jews, which he's tried over and over again, and he'd wipe out all the saved people. Amen. You know, and God only lets him do some stuff. I don't understand God. If I did, I'd be God. I don't understand him, but he lets the devil get away with some stuff now. But And he'll let the devil run you through the mill and see, so you can still brag on the Lord and show that the Lord's worthy. But boy, the devil's got a, he might have a short leash now, but it's not so short that he can't take a chunk out of your seat. Yeah, the Lord snaps it back every once in a while. But he's going to cut that loose after the church is out of here. It's going to be game on. So I'm glad we're getting out of here before that starts. So anyway, chapters 1, 2, and 3 is dealing with the churches, church ages. Chapter 4 is looking at the rapture. Chapter 5, you're looking at people in heaven, which are saved people, and talking about worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And he's able, he's worthy to unloose the seals. Now think about this. God gave Daniel revelation, told him to seal up the vision. He gave John revelation and unsealed some of that vision. And then there are seals on books in heaven that are sealed. Daniel, because of his obedience and love for God, was given advanced revelation. John, because of his obedience, wait a minute, let me back this up. Daniel, for his obedience and love for the Father, was given advanced revelation. John, because of his obedience and love for the Son, is given advanced revelation. Jesus Christ, because of his obedience to the Father and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is given the ability to unloose the seals. There's only one that was that could ever be worthy to unloose the seals, and that's Jesus Christ, God himself. Daniel could only go so far because he was a sinner. John could only go so far because he was a sinner. But Jesus Christ was not a sinner. He was sinless and is sinless. He died sinless, rose again sinless, he's sinless for eternity. So he is worthy to open the seals. Nobody else is worthy. Nobody else can pick that book up and be worthy to open it because we're all tainted. But Christ is clean. So he's able to open that book.